This is Exponent Philanthropy's Catalytic Podcast, Conversations with Leaders at Small Foundations. Meet some of the most creative, resourceful, and risk-taking foundation people in the country.
Hello to all those with the Catalytic Philanthropy Podcast. It's great to be with you today. I'm Paul Daugherty, Chief Executive Officer of Exponent Philanthropy. And tables have turned. Our wonderful colleague and one of the many skilled people behind the scenes at Exponent joining me is Andy Carroll. Many that don't know, Andy is a wonderful senior advisor for Exponent, having been with us 15 plus years in many different roles in program development, coaching and supporting funders across the country. And as Andy will say with his humble style, he works with the funders who make the magic happen, but Andy is a contributor making the magic happen. And so Andy's going to share a bit of the magic today, which is talking to us about a great body of work he's been working on 15 plus years. And so my first question, and welcome Andy to your own podcast, is what is catalytic leadership in philanthropy and how did it come about?
Paul, thanks so much for the introduction and for being with us on the Catalytic Leadership Podcast. As our listeners know, the podcast features the voices of leanly staffed foundation leaders who are making outsized or catalytic impact in their communities. I am grateful for the opportunity to talk about catalytic leadership from a kind of 30,000 foot level. The goal of catalytic leadership is to really figure out how your foundation, regardless of your asset or staff size, can use all your assets and resources, especially to address long-term systems change prioritized by the community. Catalytic leadership is about moving ahead and taking action that is needed at the right moment, in the right fashion, with the right partners to help nurture systems change on a focused issue. So there's a kind of two parts to the goal of catalytic leadership. First is to figure out how you can be useful as a lean foundation to move ahead and use all your assets to be useful in making systems change. Another way of thinking about catalytic leadership is realizing your full potential as a lean funder to be useful, responsive, and creative in working with your community to not only meet needs, but address inequities, invite new voices to decision-making tables, build community capacity, nurture breakthrough innovation, and change the status quo of systems.
You're talking about different types of assets of foundations. What non-grants have the catalytic foundations leverage in their work?
We've learned over a long history of observing and following the work of lean funders that lean foundations are not many versions of large foundations. Lean foundations have their own special and unique abilities and capacities. And many of those, as you well know, Paul, from your work, lean foundations have special relationships with their local communities. Often their staff, trustees, and donors know many people in the local community from not just the nonprofit sector, but in all sectors. People at lean foundations know local business people. They know local legislative staff and elected officials, association leaders, the presidents of local colleges, universities, and healthcare systems, social workers, journalists. Members of Exponent are leveraging those relationships to collaborate and partner with the community to address inequities and make longer-term changes. Another is the ability to convene, especially, again, on the local basis, to bring people together, bring grantees together, be a matchmaker, be a broker, and what a lot of our training in catalytic leadership is about, training and assisting Lean Foundation leaders to really make connections in their community and venture out more and get to know people, develop relationships with people in different sectors. And I think another power is the ability to commission needed data and research, often at the request of grantee organizations. Few organizations in our society have the freedom to fund data, and certainly Exponent members do that, and with powerful results. And then lastly, for today, I'd like to mention the power of Lean Foundations to engage in advocacy, especially at the town level, the rural region level, and the city level, not only funding advocacy, but actually getting involved in advocacy campaigns, often in coalitions, and using the foundation's voice and platform to raise public awareness and educate local legislators. So those are some of the assets that Exponent members and other Lean funders have that go well beyond making grants.
It has such a trickle-down effect in so many great ways. It really creates a ripple of change with catalytic leadership and philanthropy. Can you talk about how the community connections of catalytic funders can advance equity?
Lean foundations at the local level, inviting more voices to decision-making tables, often by engaging very small grassroots organizations, some led by people of color, to join the foundation and other and perhaps grantee organizations in civic advisory bodies and in panels that advise government leaders. Lean foundations have the power to invite more voices to the table and make sure that grassroots and community voices are represented in a way that large foundations perhaps may not be paying attention to at town, city, and state levels.
Andy, what I'm hearing you say is that Lean funders have ability to recognize their influence and their power, but also their proximity for change. And they can really address that in quick time by building broader tables and setting tables that allow for all people to come together.
Proximity is such a fantastic word, very apt word for many catalytic funders. And that word, Paul, makes me think of another example of how catalytic leadership addresses inequity. We have a podcast with Sheena Solomon, who just last year won our Outsized Impact Award. And one reason we had invited Sheena to be a podcast guest is that we learned that Sheena and a colleague in Syracuse, New York, developed an entire model for training members of the Syracuse community who had never served on a nonprofit board, training community members in the fundamentals of board service, and then connecting the alumni of this training program with nonprofits in Syracuse. And one of the intentional effects of this innovative program is to place more people of color and people with many more kinds of experiences on nonprofit boards, with a cascading effects of their service on these boards. So I think that's a really powerful example of a Exponent member engaging in equity work and also creating a new approach that hadn't existed before to do that kind of work.
What are some common barriers funders experience who are trying to embrace catalytic leadership and philanthropy?
One of the most common barriers is the need to focus on just one issue in the community. with at least part of your foundation resources. I think when a lot of foundation leaders hear the call to focus, they hear it as needing to focus all their assets, but it's not at all the case. But catalytic leadership does require focusing at least a portion of your assets on just one issue and committing to that issue over time. That's a real challenge for a lot of foundations who want to be responsive to multiple needs in their communities. A second barrier is that a lot of foundation boards are not aware of all the powers that their foundation holds to make impact. The boards tend to focus on the grants, and they're not so much aware of the convening power, the ability to commission research and data, the ability to matchmake, to collaborate, and also to advocate. In some cases, the boards are fearful of being too public or fearful of perhaps transgressing IRS rules on advocacy and lobbying, in spite of the fact that the IRS grants foundations a tremendous amount of freedom to be involved in policy work. So one of the things that Exponent Philanthropy, as you know, Paul, is doing through Catalytic Leadership Academy and other means is to train foundation trustees in ways to focus in all the powers that a foundation holds, and also to train executive directors of lean foundations in how to engage their boards in a journey of continual learning, so that it's not just the foundation staff engaging with the community, but it's the board members themselves engaging in the community. And we invite board members of foundations to participate in our Catalytic Academy programs. We would love to see more board members take these trainings and be able to share their knowledge and experience with the other participants.
Well, you answered my next question, which was, you know, can any funder embrace catalytic leadership and philanthropy? And I see, no matter their size, their focus, their approach, really, the gates are open. There's that on-ramp for anybody from any perspective.
Absolutely. Foundations with $1 million and much less sometimes engage in catalytic leadership. We have Exponent members who are run by, say, a donor couple who do not employ staff, and they're doing everything themselves, managing the investments, the administration of the foundation, and they're also dedicating time to the listening, the convening, the advocacy work. And community foundations are engaged in catalytic leadership. I would also take your question as an opportunity to highlight that any person at a foundation, regardless of their formal role, can be a catalytic leader, which means a staff person, a 16-year-old family member can engage in catalytic leadership, or a senior member of the foundation board, or someone brand new to philanthropy who joins the board can be a catalytic leader.
I think the next question you've already kind of shared with us, what is the best way for a funder to get started with CLIP?
We would love for Exponent members to get involved in these Catalytic Academy programs. Keep an eye on our email communications and our website for news of upcoming programs. We have a terrific new publication on getting started with catalytic leadership, and that's available on our website. And we have a number of other materials on catalytic on our blog, and also, of course, this podcast. So, Paul, you know, your background encompasses community work, economic development work, foundation work, and I know that you have a lot of background in rural philanthropy and regional philanthropy and connecting foundations of different types and sizes. How do you see catalytic leadership filling a gap in the philanthropic space?
You know, when it comes down to filling a gap, I think it does two things with catalytic leadership and philanthropy. One is puts a name on a style of philanthropy that I have seen existing for decades in the communities that I've worked with, having been a lean funder, working with, advising, consulting with lean funders for years now, that this whole element of looking beyond not just your grant-making capacity, but the entire breadth of leverageability you have, catalytic leadership philanthropy puts a name on it to really identify the different tools. And I can, you know, give examples. Funders said, there's just funders that get this type of work. They get beyond the 5% spend. They look at how they're leveraging the opportunities for their grantees, their communities. They truly engage all of the community, not just the traditional decision makers, but people who typically are not at the table. But then it also provides a gap for those that might be going through leadership transitions with their foundations, and they're looking about what's next, how can we be a more engaged and effective funder, and or the new philanthropy. We're right now in the middle of this transfer of wealth. And so as new foundations, instead of them struggling from the get-go, learning about CLIP and Early Age gives them the ability to know the different skills that they should be building in at the board level, at the staff level, at the funder level, to really engage in their communities fully. Mm-hmm. Again, whether they're an all-volunteer board or whether they're a staff of 10.
That's a very, very specific, but also a very big perspective, Paul, of looking at the intergenerational transfer of wealth and the idea that there's always new foundations being born and how they might tap into catalytic leadership from the start. How do you see CLIP or catalytic leadership in philanthropy fitting into Exponent's future?
It is one thing that is side by side with the DNA of Exponent, because lean funders are the most extensive network of funders in the country. Being able to coach this and being connected to Exponent is something that's not just a timely thing. It is something for the decades to come. Catalytic leadership in philanthropy is going to evolve because it really is the life and the work of so many of our members. And we will evolve and learn from each other together for the future. We've had a remarkable support from our members over the years. In particular, I want to acknowledge both the Blackstone Ranch Institute and the Johnson Scholarship Foundation. And they have put up sizable grants to help a match campaign. Other funders who wish to step forward, their gift will be matched dollar for dollar. And those investments go directly into the work to make sure catalytic leadership and philanthropy is able to expand and be such a great influence and accessible for all of our members at Exponent.
Fantastic. Fantastic, Paul. Thank you for your time and thought.
Absolutely. And again, thank you so much. I will talk to you soon.